Zella here to our fine program, and welcome to iHeartRadio and AMFM 24/7.com. Tune in iTunes and Radio Loyalty. Thanks for joining us here on our big program. We are going to get Don Mazza, the main man over at IGN. Don, can you hear me, my man?
Yes.
Okay. We've got a great guest with us. Pamela, go ahead and give us a brief introduction about yourself, and we'll talk a little bit about yourself with me and Don about what.
Yes, I'm Pamela Folland, author of the Megan World series. I went to college at the University of Texas at Dallas and have lived my entire life in the North Dallas, Texas area. I loved pets and grew up in a house full of pets. And so that and my hobby for loving to write short stories has just escalated across the years to where I now have my own house and a house full of pets that have inspired me to write my book series about my own experience, one raising an abandoned litter of day-old kittens, and also from my experience working in pet hotels as a dog trainer and doing pet sitting.
Now, tell us about I know Don got some questions for you on this, because this is a very interesting topic today. Tell me about a pet hotel. What the hell is a pet hotel?
A pet hotel is a boarding facility that keeps your pet while you're away on vacation.
Oh, okay. That's awesome. That's awesome. Now, Don, this is a different topic, as always. We try to do different things here on Thursdays. And talking...
Well, this is great for me. It takes me away. I'm sorry. First off, could you repeat the title of your book?
The book series is the Megan's World series. There's currently 3 books available: Megan's Munchkins, Megan's Pet Sitting Adventure, and Megan the Pet Whisperer.
Well, okay. And what are your books? Let's get that. What are your books about? Obviously Megan, but what do you talk about in your books?
The books are written for children ages 8 to 13 years old, and it follows Megan Thompson, who is 13-year-old heroine of the series, and she has a love of pets and a desire for a pet of her own, and there's a lot of me in the Megan character. I put myself kind of in the Megan body to write the series. So in the first book, Megan's Munchkins, she finds an abandoned litter of day-old kittens and raises them in secret from her parents because she's been told by her parents, you're not responsible enough to have a pet of your own. And so across the 5 weeks of the book, she proves to her parents that she can pull her grades up in school, she can keep up with household chores, and she can raise these completely helpless one-day-old kittens into healthy, thriving little babies.
Well, that sounds exciting. And, you know, I wish I had a dollar for every parent that said to a child, you're not responsible enough for a pet, and is worried that they will end up being responsible for the pet. What a wonderful idea, and I hope people listen to that. Having said that, raising a pet, what does it give a child, raising a pet? What are some of the benefits of it for the child?
Well, that's the thing that I talk to the local parents at my events and book signings that I do, is that if the parent is willing to accept that at the end of the day, the responsibility and the well-being of the pet is going to ultimately fall to them. Doesn't matter if the child is 5 years old or 15 years old, the parent is going to have some involvement in the pet's well-being and upkeep. But it can teach a child numerous wonderful maturing qualities like responsibility, compassion, loyalty, trust, all sorts of things that the child can then use to expand other aspects of their life. Besides, just there's nothing to me, there's nothing more wonderful than the unconditional love that a pet would give a child or an adult in their life.
Well, I couldn't agree more. Unfortunately, growing up, I never had the opportunity, but I've seen this in other people and in other families how important a pet is. Let's stay on this topic for a while before we go to the other fascinating topic that you bring, which is a pet hotel, which I think is a great way of looking at it. Because I would like to ask you, what do you do for the child that has a passing fancy for the dog or the cat or whatever, and then it ends up being the orphan in the family? How do you work with people to help them understand and to develop something to do with them, with the pet?
You're saying for a child that wants a dog or cat but then doesn't want to take care of it, or was that your question?
Yeah, sometimes a child ends up saying, I want a dog, but after months, they suddenly realize that they discover other pursuits and begin to neglect these pets. How do you get them to go back and accept their responsibilities if you can get them to do it?
Yeah, and that's the whole, one of the driving forces for my book series is to teach the young readers that the pets are not a summer hobby or a long weekend activity that they can then forget about when their friends come back in town or when they develop other interests, that it is a lifetime commitment of 10 plus years based upon the lifespan of the pet. But it ultimately falls back to the parents. I think in most cases, like we're talking about, a child that's lost interest in it is possibly backing off on the actual responsibility and caring for it as much as doing activities like playing a game of fetch with a dog or playing with a feather toy with the cat. Doing bonding type activities between the child and the pet to encourage that love between them to grow, as opposed to the actual physical duties of picking up after it or feeding it or walking it, would be the best approach to bring that love of the pet back to the child.
Well, in my neighborhood, I noticed that it's the young people who do most of the walking of the dogs around here. And I often see them staring into their phones rather than watching where the dog does its business. Sometimes it's on my lawn, which makes me very angry.
Right.
And when you bring them up short about it, as I did yesterday, they look at you as if you were telling them to go kill themselves. You know, it's not very pleasant to clean up in your own lawn.
Right.
But, let's go on to a happier subject, because the Hallmark Channel, which is one of the fastest growing channels going, it has a formula for its movies. The formula always has boy meets girl, boy loses girl, boy finds girl. There's always somewhere in there is a pet, usually a dog. Are you familiar with those movies? And what do you say about that? I think your Megan book fit right in there.
I think so, too. And I think that they do a very, very good job of using that formula. I know I watched about a dozen of their Christmas movies just a couple months ago when they were playing them back to back to back. And they do an amazing job of using that formula over and over and over again, and yet they're producing a new movie, and it's something along the same vein, but very, very similar and very interesting. So I love doing it to study how they do it, because I think I can relate lots of the movie plots and the lots of the movie ideas to my writing of doing the same thing, but telling it in a new enough way to keep a reader's interest.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I have to think golden retrievers, who are supposed to be the most loyal dogs of dogs, and you know, it's just something. And I don't know if you're aware, but just last night, Turner Classic Movie played Greyfriars Bobby, story of a dog that in Scotland, an Edinburgh who when his master died, came back every night to his master's grave until the dog itself died. And by special dispensation of Queen Victoria, they buried the dog beside the master. I mean,
right.
It's a three handkerchief sob job. Pets have a great effect not only on children, but also on older people, etc. What are the two or three things you'd counsel a parent to do when they think about getting a pet for their child?
I encourage them to think about not just what the child is asking for, to really, really consider and do their research as to, say, the child is asking for a golden retriever, but the family lives in a small apartment with no backyard and doesn't really like to go out and take walks or go to the park or do anything else. To really look at their lifestyle and then the pet's activity level and care needs and what the pet lifestyle would be for that particular dog or cat breed before actually jumping in and getting it. Because if you're not a walker or a runner, you're not going to be happy having to walk or run a big dog every single day, sometimes two or three times a day in all climates. Aspects of the weather. And if you're an active person, you don't want to get a little pocket chihuahua or Yorkie that's going to tire out after a quarter mile. So
that's really good advice. Keep going.
So I really encourage the parent to consider what the child is asking for, but then also really look at what would fit in better to their lifestyle as far as their living situation. Maybe the apartment complex that they have has a weight limit for dogs or a restriction on the type of dog that they could have, and what other family members in the household, how much care they're willing to put in and how much care the parents themselves are willing to put in. If you're a family that wants to be able to pick up and leave the house every long weekend without having to worry about what do we do with the dog or can we take the dog with us, then maybe a cat would be a better option for them, because cats need love and need attention, but it's a whole lot easier to have a neighbor come in and put fresh food and water down for a cat than it is for a neighbor to come in and walk and take care of a dog.
Well, you know, you bring up an interesting subject, cat. My father ended up later in life having a cat, and the two of them were inseparable. We talk about children, but I happen to think pets are sometimes more beneficial to older people. What do you think about that?
Oh, absolutely. I have seen firsthand with my grandma and her dog, a Sheltie, how beneficial that having a dog that is always there with her and always something to do, always there for her and something to keep her active and keep her walking and throwing the tennis ball and feeding. I think they're wonderful, wonderful companions. There's all sorts of scientific studies, as a matter of fact, that says that pets reduce blood pressure and are very, very good. That's why they have so many therapy dogs in the hospitals and nursing homes.
I agree. Well, let's turn, before anything else, to how do you sit down and write books and articles? Do you Do you gain your inspiration from your pets? Do you have a regular routine? How do you go about, you've created three books. Are you thinking of doing a fourth in the Megan series?
Yes, Megan's birthday is the fourth book in that series, and it's coming out July 17th.
Why did you pick that date?
I kind of try and space the books out about 3 to 4 months apart, and it was middle of the month Tuesday, which is the day you're supposed to release books on. So picked it in between, kind of after the 4th of July and before Labor Day.
Well, I just learned something new. You're supposed to release your book on Tuesday. I didn't know that. But
yes.
Go ahead. Well, you see, Jiggy, on this program, you'll learn so many interesting facts.
Don't you?
But do you sit down and work in the morning? Do you sit down in the evening? I always like to ask writers how they go about creating the words on the paper, which to me is so important to life.
Right. Well, like when I was first creating the Megan's World series back at book one of Megan's Munchkins, this was about 2.5, almost 3 years ago that I started working on this story. I had the idea from my personal experience of bottle raising an abandoned litter of kittens, four one-day-old kittens that I found on a walk in my neighborhood, and I bottle raised, and I still have all four of them. They turned 5 years old last month. But the experience of actually being the parental figure to these kittens, I mean, they follow me around the house like I'm the Pied Piper. I have a trail of them behind me at all times. I thought it was such an extraordinary experience for me. It inspired me to write to teach children about pets, and this is the ultimate care for a pet, because these little kittens are as helpless as a newborn baby would be, and you're having to feed them every 4 hours around the clock. So I thought it was a really good idea to launch a story book series from. So I started writing. I knew I wanted to have the character be a young teenage girl and find the kittens and raise them in secret from her parents and prove to her parents that she was responsible enough to have a pet. But I probably wrote the first 10,000 pages or so, or 10,000 words, 20 pages or so, without actually having a name for the character. I knew the storyline, I knew where I was headed, but I didn't have a name for my Megan character until one day I was typing on it, and all of a sudden Megan just kind of started appearing on the page, and that's the name that has stuck. So that was a fun journey to go on to actually create the series, create all the characters in Megan's world, and create the storyline. So that book definitely took me the longest to write. But now that I have the series kind of established and I'm working on future books every day for the series, I do write in the morning. I guess I tire out or something, but the morning time, I can do a couple thousand words easy within a few hours of sitting down at the computer. So I have myself on the schedule, and I just start writing every morning, do at least 1,000 words a day. That's my goal for myself. And now that the characters and everything are kind of created, I have, I don't know, I think 15 books outlined for the series.
Wow. Well, that's ambition. Jiggy, am I hogging the time? Do you want to...
No. I've enjoyed the conversation here. Before we let you go, my friend, how do we find you online? Where do we pick up your books, all this?
Okay, yes, definitely. I'm on Facebook and Twitter, as well as you can check out my website on PamelaFolan.com. And my books are on my website, but the website will take you to Amazon. The books are available in paperback and e-reader versions on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
Fantastic. Well, we're going to take a brief break, and Dawn, I will be back with you here in just a few seconds. Pamela, it's been an honor and a privilege to talk to you today. Thanks for coming on our program.
Thank you for having me.